Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. They say that there are more telephone calls on this day than any day of the year. And I sure hope that you take the time to call your mom. You know, 23 years ago this June, my mom went to heaven. And there's hardly a day goes by that I do not think about the impact of my mother. If you have an ability to get a hold of your mom today, you better do that and hug her neck and call her. Do whatever it takes to communicate that love, because there are folks here today that don't have that opportunity, and maybe that's happened more recently in your life. For me, it was almost 23 years ago, and it's just a wonderful opportunity to be able to think about the legacy and impact. But they say that on this day, there are more phone calls than ever. I heard about one guy, wealthy son, who really wanted to do something special for his mom, and so he went into a pet store. And he found a talking bird. Now, this was a very, very expensive talking bird. And so this bird could whistle Amazing Grace. Now, you had to pay for it if you wanted this bird. It was $30,000 for this bird. But this bird could whistle Amazing Grace. This bird could quote the 23rd Psalm. And so this guy said, I don't care, I've got the money. So he had it shipped to his mom a few days before Mother's Day. On Mother's Day, he made the call. He said, Mom, how'd you like the bird? She said, oh, it was delicious. I don't know. You might want to send your gift with an explanation. But anyway, hey, listen, today is a very, very special day. I want us to look in Exodus at a mother who was a mom among crocodiles. Being a mom is not easy, but I really believe we find a mixture of the right balance of parenting from Jochebed in the Old Testament. Jochebed was Moses' mom, and as you know, we're going to read about it, she had Moses, and it was a very treacherous time, and there in Egypt, they were on the Nile River. I've done a little bit of research. Some of you probably know a lot more about the Nile crocodile. It's the largest crocodile in that region, the second largest of all the alligators or crocodiles, and they can be as long as 18 feet long. They're treacherous, and Jochebed took Moses and put him in that ark and put him in the reeds of the Nile River among crocodiles. And so being a mom among crocodiles, think about the crocodiles that moms face today. Think about the forces of evil against our children. Think about the challenge of worldly pleasure that bombards moms and dads as well. Think about moral purity, this issue of moral purity for our children, and the way that Satan has a plan to muddy up the lives of our precious children. Think about what substance abuse is doing in our world, another crocodile against the family. Think about the issue of self-worth and giving our children a sense of self-worth that is rooted in something that will last and will be stable. The challenge of having our children live up to their potential. All of these pressures are like crocodiles on mama sometimes. I think about the scourge of pornography in our day and how it tries to dirty up our children. And then I think about the pressures of business. Think about the opinions of others. Sometimes one of the crocodiles to a mom could be the opinions of others and what others think you should do. Think about the battle when our children go through adolescence and the difficulties there and their friendships. Think about financial pressures that come upon the family and upon moms. Think about wrong priorities. Think about them teaching purpose in life and how to establish purpose in life in your children. All of these things are like crocodiles in the Nile, and moms are navigating all of this in our day. And I'm praying that today's message, as we look at a mom from the Old Testament who was being a mom among the crocodiles, I'm praying that this will encourage you in a very special way. You find your place, Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, and we're going to read 10 verses of Scripture, and I'll read it out loud from mine. You just follow along in your copy of God's Word. This is Exodus 2:1, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife the daughter of Levi, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. Verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now we find in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, the place where Jochebed is actually named. So that is her name, Jochebed. And in her story, we see two things. I just have two things I want you to write down. I want you to remember today about being a mom among the crocodiles. Number one, in her story, we see what a mother does. In verses 1 through 4, the first thing we see is she loves the child. She saw that he was beautiful. If you look at verse 2, so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. She saw that he was a beautiful child. That phrase really could use a little bit of embellishment, because it wasn't so much an attraction in the sense of his beauty, but that phrase means to care about, to be fond of, to want. She loved Moses, and when she looked into his eyes, she saw great potential. Moms love, don't they? Moms love, and that's exactly what she did. You see what a mother does? A mother loves. So a better translation there could be, she was longing to keep him. And so in longing to keep him, she hid him. So she hid him. She hid him like a treasure. That word hid means to hide like a treasure. And what she did was she created this little ark, and it actually uses the same word as is used in the Old Testament for the ark. And she laid him in the reeds. There was a place that she could hide him in that ark, and it was a way that he was kept from making too much noise. Now, for 3 months, she just hid him in the house. And she just fed him, and she just, you know, babies are sleeping and eating, sleeping and eating, sleeping and eating. But about 3 months, or roughly around that time, there was a lot of noise coming out of that house. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 22, just right before where we started, The Pharaoh of Egypt had become aware that the Hebrews had grown in number, and so he was the biggest crocodile of all in terms of wanting to hurt those children. And so Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born, you shall cast him into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." And so she was hiding him. Why did she do that? She did that because she loved Moses. Okay, what does a mother do? A mother loves. But the other thing a mother does, a mother protects. She made that ark, and she protected that ark by sealing it with tar and sealing it with pitch, which was kind of like a sap material. It was made out of papyrus, almost like a triangular reed that grew in the Nile River, and it had big long things that would grow up as much as 10 feet tall, and they made boats out of it. So she took this and she pieced it all together, and then she daubed it with tar, and she daubed it with pitch in order to daubed it with tar, and she daubed it with pitch in order to seal it up. And the scripture says in verse 3, "But when she could no longer hide him at the house," when she could no longer hide him, "she took an ark of bulrushes for him and laid it in the reeds by the river bank." See, she could watch him off and on in those reeds. The historians say that the Egyptians probably came in the daytime to check for the boy children. And so in the daytime, she would take him and put him in that ark, most likely. The scripture doesn't give us all these details, but as those that have studied it have written about it, most likely at night she was safe to go and nurse Moses and to help take care of him, so she could watch him. She could nurse him. He could avoid the Egyptian sweeps of those that would come in. What does a mother do? A mother longs to protect. I say to the children, I say to young people, I've said it for many, many years, that the reason that sometimes your mom and dad have rules and things that they don't allow you to do is not because they want to make your life miserable, but it's because they want to protect you from something, number one. Number two, they want to provide something better for you or see that provided for you better in the future. So many times, as young people, we rebel against the protection of our moms, but they're doing it because they love us and they protect us. So this would have avoided the Egyptian sweeps. Now, I want you to notice that in verse 4 it says, "And his sister stood afar off." Now, Miriam was actually named in chapter 15, verse 20. You can write that down, look at it later. Chapter 15, verse 20, this is Miriam. And Miriam became a great leader among the people, and she was an older sister. And the Bible says, "And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him." So Jochebed loved Moses. A mother loves. Jochebed wanted to protect Moses. A mother wants to protect her children. And so part of that plan was to get the older sister to just kind of linger around that little ark and to make sure Moses was okay. Now, I want you to notice that after the Pharaoh's daughter discovers Moses, and after Jochebed becomes the nursemaid, don't you know that there was teaching going on while she was nursing and while she was rocking and while she was raising that little child for a number of years? The historians say it was probably about 3 to 6 years that she would be allowed to keep Moses and to raise him up. And then eventually we find that Pharaoh's daughter took the child in verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Well, that was after a number of years that Jochebed was able to raise up little Moses. And so what does a mom do? A mom loves, a mom protects, and a mom teaches. Now, I want you to hold your place in Exodus, and I want you to turn to the New Testament. in the book of Hebrews. Find Hebrews chapter 11. They'll find it on the screen as well. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. The scripture says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, or he was one to be longed for, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses' parents did that. They were people of faith. They were people that had a relationship with God. And so, can you imagine, as she raised up Moses, she was telling the story of God's providence. She was teaching. So here's what I want to remind you of, moms, today. And we're going to close this out with, I think, the Lord shows us a great balance of a mixture of parenting that I think is very healthy and encouraging. But when you see what the mother does, what a mother does, she loves, she protects, and she teaches. Now, in her story, we also see, number two, what God does. I want you to think about this in verses 5 through 10. All the things that God does in order to preserve the life of Moses, in order to prepare him to be the deliverer of the people of God that would come later in this book of the Bible. I think about the timing and the circumstances. First of all, he wanted to prepare a deliverer. I think about the decree that in God's sovereign power in verse 22 of chapter 1, there was that decree. And so because of that, Jochebed made that ark and put Moses in the reeds. And then I think about how the Lord orchestrated Pharaoh's daughter to come down. Look at verse 5. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked alongside the river. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. I think about all the circumstances that transpired in order to protect Moses. She happened to go down and bathe that day. I don't know if Moses perhaps was crying in that little ark, but for some reason her eye caught that little ark, and she said to a maiden, I want you to go around there and get that ark. And think about these circumstances. When she opened it, what did little Moses do? He started crying. And when he, that didn't sound like a too good of a cry, did it? That was not a good cry. Sorry about that. But anyway, the baby cried. I'm just going to use words to describe it. I'm not going to demonstrate it. The baby cried. And listen, her heart went out for that child. And when the baby wept, she had compassion on him. Think about what God does. Now, I tell you what really I've discovered as a pastor, as a parent, sometimes we get all wound up when we take on the part that God's supposed to do, that God will do. We think it's all up to us. But in this story, we see a perfect mixture of parenting. We see what a mother does. But here's the amazing factor to those that in a relationship with God. We see what God does. So here is Miriam, who happens to be there when the baby cries. You look at the passage in verse 6. So the baby wept, so she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Verse 7, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter. Now, she was probably somewhere, they say, between 6 and 12 years old. And because of the wise wording of this phrase, some believe she was at the older end of that little window there of age. So here's Miriam, the sister, the older sister. And the sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" Dr. Chuck Swindoll, in his commentary on this passage, really drilled down in my heart the way that God works behind the scenes in verse 8. Look at what happened. And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, now that word that where she says go is just one word in the Hebrew language. Can I tell you this? The whole future of Israel. Think about it. The whole future of the Exodus, everything that was going to be written following this, just look at all of this in Exodus, a very long book of the Bible, hinged on the Pharaoh's daughter's answer to that question. And in God's sovereignty, he gave protection to the deliverer, to the one whom God had a plan for his life, and she said to Miriam, go. Wow, that is amazing. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Now, can you imagine when Miriam went home and said, Mama, Mama, you've got to come. You've got to come see the Pharaoh's daughter. They've got Moses. And I imagine just fear and terror would have gone into Jochebed's mind. But she went and got the child's mother, and I want you to think about this. The mother met the daughter of her worst fears. Her worst fears were that Pharaoh, who in chapter 1, verse 22 said, every male child throw him in the Nile among the crocodiles. And yet, the mother met the daughter of her worst fears. God, listen, God turned the circumstances toward hope and salvation. God can do it, ladies and gentlemen. And then you see God's sovereign protection. You see his timing in the circumstances. But then you see his sovereign provision in verses 9 and 10. So the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. Hey, you can raise this child. Raise up this child until he's weaned, and I'll pay you for it. Not only did Jochebed have a son she longed to know and to raise, but the Pharaoh's daughter actually paid her to do that. God's amazing sovereign provision. So in verse 9, she took the child and she was paid. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Verse 10, and the child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. I think about in Jochebed, I'm going to close with this. In Jochebed, we see a mixture of proper parenting. Moms, and really this applies to dads too. Do what you can do. Do what you can do. You can only control what you can do and what God leads you to do. Do what you can do. Now, Jochebed was a God-fearing person. She had a relationship with God. And her husband, Amram, did as well. This was Moses' father. This particular passage gives emphasis to Jochebed in her place, but we know that her husband was a part of it. Miriam was a part of it. Matter of fact, there was another child between Miriam, who was the oldest, and Moses, and that was Aaron. You remember Aaron, who went with Moses before Pharaoh. And so these were the children. This was a family of faith. And so let me say to the moms here, do what you can do. The first thing is turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Turn your life over to Christ. Jochebed had a relationship with the Lord. And then I would say this, train them up in the ways of the Lord. Show them, lead them, teach them the ways of God. Do all you can do while you have time. Plug them in to the church. Plug them in to people that will encourage them and reinforce the things that you are teaching them at your knee. That will be a great blessing to your children. So you do all you can do. Here's a mixture of proper parenting we find, and it's very freeing because here's what you are to do. Do what you can do. We see what she did. But then here's the thing. Here's the hard part sometimes for moms. It's a hard part for dads too. Trust God to do his part. You've got to put them in the hands of the Lord. And you realize that he can protect and he can provide and he is sovereign. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, is in heaven, and she wrote many books on her life and things to encourage others. And in one of her books about prodigal children, she wrote this. She said, "You deal with the possible and let God deal with the impossible." You deal with the possible. In other words, you do what you can do. I want to say to the moms in here, I think the most important thing of all is that you have given your life to Jesus Christ, and it's real to you. You know, you think about all the pressures and the crocodiles out there. Is there anything in this world, listen to me, mom, is there anything in this world more important than you knowing Jesus Christ and having the assurance that you will spend eternity with the Lord? You know, I mentioned that almost 23 years ago, my mom died. My mom knew the Lord. You know what keeps me going, not having my mom all these years, is the assurance to know that one day I'll see my mom again. I really believe that with all my heart. I'll see her again. I'll be able to tell her, "Mom, once again, I want to thank you for the impact that you had in my life." This became very real to James Dobson when James Dobson was playing a pickup basketball game with Pete Maravich. You remember Pete Maravich, the great LSU? Some of y'all don't remember Pete Maravich. I'm kind of giving my age a little bit. Pistol Pete, they called him, was a player for the LSU Tigers. He set over 40 records in NCAA basketball, and one of his records is just astounding. He averaged over his college career, you ready for this, 44 points a game in basketball as a collegiate player. He was the first NBA draft pick to sign a $1 million contract. He was the very first one. James Dobson played some pickup basketball with Pete Maravich one day, and he said to Pete was 40 years old, and I think Dobson was in his 50s at the time, and he said to Pete, "How do you feel?" And Pete Maravich said, "I feel great." And then he turned around and Pete collapsed. They went over and they tried to do CPR. He just was like in a seizure, and they tried to help him, and finally he quit breathing, and Pete Maravich died in James Dobson's arms. Dobson tells the story in his book, Life on the Edge. He said, that just impacted me so greatly about the brevity of life. And so he went home, and he got a hold of his son Ryan, and he sat down with Ryan Dobson, his son, who at the time was 17 years of age. And he got Ryan aside and he said, "Ryan, this has happened, and Pete has gone on to heaven." He said he didn't have a chance to say some things he probably would have said because it was so sudden. He said, "But I want to say something to you. And can I suggest that all of us in here, think about this today?" Dobson said to Ryan, he said, "Ryan, you're going to do a lot of things in this world. You may go into business. You may do all kinds of different things." He said, "But I want to ask you one thing." He said, "I'll die many years before you will. But I want to ask you, on that resurrection day, be there. Be there." He said, I want you to know, no matter how many years it is, when the Eastern Gate is open on Resurrection Day, he said, your mama and I will be standing there. He said, Ryan, be there. Now, ladies, you have mamas. If you're like me, my mama's in glory. I'm going to be there. And kids, your mamas, many of them know the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to head to heaven one day. And I want to say this to you, be there. Dads, hey, look, let me tell you something. You may make a gazillion dollars. And I hope you do. Give a bunch of it to your local church, okay? I hope you do. But I can tell you, it won't be one split second into eternity that the most important thing that ever has happened to you in your life is you can know that you will be there with Jesus Christ in eternity. I'd like us to bow our heads and...
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.